the book of Psalms. Don't you love Psalms? Last week we got to delve into just a few verses that David shared with us. Actually, Asaph was the writer of that psalm. This is a Davidic psalm here in Psalm 56, and you'll love it because it really helps us to understand that even though we're Christians, we have battles, right? Even though the Lord is on our side, we have an enemy, right? Even though some things come almost natural as far as to serve God, other things are really difficult. And it's usually one of these two things that separate us, and David talks about it in Psalms 56. Would you please stand out of respect of God's word? We invite you to read these psalms together with us or to follow silently in your copy of God's word. I don't know if you need to turn this up. It is a little bit. I find myself kind of pushing to kind of get that out today. I'm going to need a little extra help today, that's for sure. All right, Psalm 56, verse 1. Ready? Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Wow, aren't these encouraging words from David? He acknowledges that he has enemies, and he acknowledges that if it weren't for God, he's going down. But he's not going to let fear control him. When I am afraid, I'm going to turn to you, God, and I'm going to trust you. If we could all do that today, Satan would go home with more than one black eye. If we could just determine tomorrow or the next day, anytime this week, when Satan brings fear into my life, that I'm going to turn away from that fear and turn to Jesus, and that's where I'm going to put my confidence in. If you do that, that is an act of faith. God is pleased when we put faith into action. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. So we just need to trust God more. We need to put our hope in him. And in doing so, you will be blessed and God will be honored. I'd like to preach a message to you, to us this morning, that I would call faith's fear factor. Faith's fear factor. Would you pray with me? Fathers, we've come to you this morning. Lord, I know that we have folks from all different walks of life. And we have some folks in here who have been very successful in their jobs and in their life, and you have blessed them in wonderful ways. But all of us have found ourselves on the wrong side at times. And we've made poor decisions, and we've not followed you as we ought, and we have been weak. Lord, those were times when we were not full of the faith of God. I pray tonight, Father, whatever happens today, this morning, excuse me, I pray this morning that we will lean into you and that we'll not lean on our own understandings, but that as we trust you, you will reveal your love and your help. Lord, that we will grab onto the right arm of God, which is stronger than anything. That we will come alongside and walk in the Spirit so that we'll not be led into sin and in our flesh. Father, I guess I'm just asking you to show us how to live the faith-filled life. Show us, Lord, how that we don't have to fear, how that we can choose faith. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's hot, hot. Hot, hot, hot. Hot, hot. Okay. Thank you, honey. What? Fruit punch from who? Oh. Squeeze drink. Everything's better with a squeeze drink, right? All right. Many years ago, you'll remember this, many years ago, a TV show came out that became widely popular for instilling fear in its audience as well as its participants. Each participant was given a challenge to face their fears by unusual means, eating the most grotesque things, entering a closed cage with a wild animal, sitting in an enclosed area with spiders or snakes, or even jumping from heights most feared. You know it as the fear factor. It was a widely popular show here in America, but also in England. So much so that after it canceled, it came back on again just 2 years ago. Fear is real, and God has given us the propensity to have this feeling and this emotion so that we would avoid certain things or that we would accelerate certain parts of our psyche and even our adrenaline and even change some of the ways that we act in order to overcome that which we feel fearful of. But fear has a factor that faith does not. Two great, undeniable forces rule the hearts of all of us. We know them as good and evil. Because there are only two powers that be, the Bible says, we all find ourselves in a battle between these two. Satan will always strive against God, and God will always triumph over evil. The question here is today, who do you fear the most? Two opposing forces guide all of us. We're either motivated and directed by fear, or we practice our faith. Either your faith guides you or your fear guides you. In so doing, we are defined. People of faith serve God. We are told so many times in the Bible, actually 365 times in the Bible, not to fear. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not, little children. Fear not, brother. Fear not, sister. We have a fear not for every day of the year. But yet, so many times, we fear instead of have faith. Understanding fear and faith and the differences between the two can help us to live for God. Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or threat of pain. American Medical Association says fear is a chain reaction in the brain that starts with stressful stimuli and ends with a release of chemicals that cause a fight or flight response. To prepare for this response, the body does a number of things immediately. Immediately, your heart rate increases to pump more blood to your muscles and brain. Immediately, your lungs take in air faster to supply more oxygen to the body. Immediately, your pupils in your eyes get larger to see better, and your digestive system slows down to conserve energy for your muscles. Isn't that incredible? Can we all agree that fear changes us? Yes, it does. While fear is a necessary emotion, unmanaged, it can adversely affect our health. According to the American Medical Association, the long-time effect of unmanaged fear, like worry, can damage one's brain, cardiovascular system, digestive system, and lead to premature aging and death. Now, faith, on the other hand, is a wonderful thing. Faith means to be convinced or to trust Him. Faith is confidence to trust. We could all use more faith. Amen? Amen. We know that the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not just what we hope for. It's the fact that we hope in Christ, who is all that we hope for. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, if I were to do this, very few of you have the ability with your eyesight to see that something is there. But something is there, I can actually see just a little outline of it. It's a fingerprint. Now, if I told you that my fingerprint's there, you would have to trust me If I was a magician or something, the hand would be quicker than the eye. But the truth of the matter is, all in order for you to experience the fact that it is really there is to have the evidence of it, which wouldn't be so hard to prove. So really, having faith and trust in God isn't something you need to prove. It's something you need to trust, and as you do, God proves it to you. When you put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you go on a journey. You go on a road. You become a child of God. Those of you who are born again are born into the family of God. You don't have to learn to trust your Father if you'll just have faith in Him. The trust will come. Because if you have faith in Him, you'll do what He says. As you do, you'll say, oh, He's pretty good. Man, He's on the ball. Wow, He does answer prayer. He does help me. And as you live out your faith life, God gives you evidences. Faith gives us the opportunity to trust. Faith is that which God gives us that allows us to follow Him when we cannot see the road before us. I had a friend who gave me this definition of faith years ago, and I believe it's to be consistent with the Bible and with even Hebrew and Greek. Faith is confident expectation. It's expecting God to do what He said He was going to do, and yes, even confidently expecting. It's believing He will. In Psalms 56 here, and this David's in Davidic song, it was a song of trust. David wrote this song because he felt like he needed to express himself and his love to trust God. David had visited Gath and narrowly escaped with his life from Abimelech. We read this account in 1 Samuel chapter 21. At this time in his life, David had all kinds of enemies. As a matter of fact, it seemed like all of the kings of the earth were against him at one time. It seemed that way. Have you ever felt that way? It seemed like everything in the world was against you. Everything, it seemed. That's how David felt. There seemed to be almost no way out until he trusted in the Lord. This psalm is a song of faith and trust. This psalm can help us choose faith over fear. So this morning, that's what I'd like to encourage you. You know, we all need a little extra help at times making right choices. I remember being a young person and struggling with the choices every teenager struggles with, but I thought by the time you became an adult, you have it all figured out. The older I get, the more I realize without God, we can't understand anything. So this morning, I really would want to encourage you. You know that faith pleases God. You know that that's God's will for you to walk according to faith. You know that. You don't need a preacher telling you that probably over and over again. You don't need a preacher trying to treat you maybe as a first or second Christian grader. But what we do need is to look within the scriptures and see how people who were under attack, how others who had some of the same struggles you and I have, how that they were able to trust God when everything was against them. And that's what this Davidic psalm was about. So let's look at it closely. We read it, but let me read it for you again. Verse 3, the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So I say, number one, David recognized who his enemy was. He recognized who his enemy was. Now, before you start thinking, but wait a minute, Pastor, it was Abimelech, and it was Saul. At another time in his life, it was the Philistines. And what about those Canaanites and all those Amalekites and all the enemies? Weren't those who he's talking about? Not at all. David said, when I am afraid. He didn't say, when I am afraid of Abimelech. He didn't say, when I am afraid of King Saul. He didn't say, when I'm afraid of men. He said, when fear comes upon me, I turn that fear into faith. David recognized who his enemy was. Can I tell you today that the person who's hurt you the most is not your enemy? The individual who's cost you the most pain is not your enemy. If you have a picture of somebody in your life who's hurt you and brought all manners of evil towards you, maybe they got you fired from your job. Maybe they disappointed you in a relationship. If you've got a picture of them in your mind and you're saying, they're my enemy, you are sadly mistaken, dear friend. For the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not anybody with hair on their head or not hair, not anybody with hands or feet, but the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this age is our enemy. Now, they cannot separate us from the love of God. But what they bring, the rulers of darkness and evil, is bring fear into our life to try to get us to react to fear and not to follow faith. It's faith's fear factor. David recognized that as long as he trusted in the Lord, nothing his enemies could do could hurt him. He knew that God was bigger than they were. He was just a boy out watching the sheep. When a lion came out of the woods, a mountain lion went to attack his sheep, and he, with the strength of God, with the courage of God, approached that lion and got in a personal battle, and he killed that lion. It was another time when a bear came out of the woods, and this is beyond my ability to understand it because I have sat next to the largest bear in the world, the largest black bear. His name was Dakota. At a wildlife show in Cleveland, Ohio. And as I sat there and they said, put your arm around Dakota, we'll take a picture. My oldest son, Daniel, and I got our picture taken with, I couldn't hardly get my arm around Dakota. Literally, it was like a brick wall. That thing was like steel. And the big bear just sat there and I thought, oh my soul, don't be nice, Daniel, don't make the bear mad. No, let's be nice to this bear. He's so big and so powerful. How in the world could anybody, how could God even give a man, a boy, a little red-haired, ruddy boy, the strength to defeat a bear? The love that he had for those sheep, the desire he had to please God, helped him to have extraordinary strength and ability. And by the way, fear didn't control him then. If he's not going to be scared of a bear and a mountain lion, he's probably not going to be scared of old Abimelech. Probably not going to be scared of Saul. You see, we put our fear in the wrong basket. Whenever you are afraid, you're supposed to turn to the Lord and say, God, I need you. And God said, that's all I need to hear. I'm coming. Do, 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 do. Here comes God riding on the right horse. Here comes the Holy Spirit and the power thereof. And the truth of the matter is, some of us live our lives scared of what people can do. And Bible says, don't you be scared of those who can kill the body. Be scared of those who can cast the body and the soul into hell. The only person we should fear is God himself. David recognized who his enemy was. He knew fear was his enemy. David had already written many psalms about this. He said, I will not fear what men shall do to harm me. He knew his enemy wasn't his fellow man. David had great courage. David stood up to the Philistines, the enemies of God, and we know that he killed Goliath. He was just a teenage boy, a 9-foot-tall Goliath. He wasn't scared of him. If he's not scared of him, he's not scared of men. He was scared about being overcome with fear and therefore not doing what God wanted him to do. If you and I would ever become men and women after God's own heart, we would fear disappointing God more than anybody else. David feared fear itself. He didn't fear man. He didn't fear his reputation. He didn't fear losing something other than a close walk with the Lord. David didn't say, what time I am tired, I will trust in the Lord. He didn't say, what time I am weak, what time I am lonely, what time I am anxious, what time I'm afraid, he said. So David recognized who his enemy was. I read this years ago. I don't know who said it, but I think it's brilliant. When the soldiers of Israel saw Goliath, they thought to themselves, he is so big, we could never kill him. When David saw Goliath, he thought to himself, he's so big, I can't miss him. Said, I'm here to stand up for the Lord my God. His brothers, all of them, standing up with their armor, trying to show themselves mighty, ran and turned against this giant. And David said, are you kidding me? One guy? You got to be kidding me. Brothers, come on now. And they laughed at David, and they said, David, you can't go out there. You got to prove yourself. You got to go stand before the king and get permission. David said, well, I guess if I have to, I have to. And you know the story. David went before King Saul, and King Saul said, well, I tell you what, young man, that's awful brave of you. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my armor. Now, you can imagine a guy head and shoulders above all the other guys and a little teenage, ruddy, red-haired shepherd boy. David looked at it, and he said, I don't think that's going to work, Saul. But not because of what size they are. I haven't even proved them. David wasn't in the army. He hadn't gotten any training. He hadn't gone through basic training. But he had been into the wilderness, and he knew who God was, and he knew who fear was, and he knew that he went in God's direction, fear would have to go the other way. And David went out there, and he gave glory and honor to God. David recognized who his enemy was. David said in Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's what needs to happen today. I know there are many of you who have these struggles in your life, and I understand that I have my own struggles. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not doing something for God, you should, because you're worried about what other people think. You got the wrong enemy. If you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the sight of God because you're nervous or scared of what other people are going to think, well, Pastor, if I hand out a tract, somebody will think I'm a religious lunatic. Well, I'd rather be known as a religious lunatic as somebody who didn't care enough about telling somebody about Jesus, about going to heaven. I'd rather be known by the world as being something that I'm not than to be known by God for doing something that I shouldn't do, avoiding him. Paul taught us in Ephesians 6, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our fight is not against, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. In verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. Learn to recognize who your enemy is. Okay, Christian, do you really want the devil to win in your life? Anybody want the devil to win? You want to help him out? You want him to get any glory? That's what happens when we don't do something God wants us to do because we're fearful. I want God to get the glory from your life, from our life, from this church. We have to recognize who the enemy is. Fear or failure. Fear of loss, fear of rejection, fear of embarrassment, fear of harm. None of these can harm you when you choose to follow God. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengthens me. Yes, when we're weak, that's when we give in to fear. When we're vulnerable, that's... But David said, I know who my enemy is. It's not a person. It's a thing. And I'm going to choose to trust in God. He recognized his enemy. Number two. David recognized, or excuse me, he recounted his faith in God's mercy. Verse 1, we read it all together. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. The greatest thing about what David's saying is that be to me like you have already been. Be merciful to me, God, like you were yesterday. Today I'm feeling pressure. I'm feeling my enemies are closing in on me. Yesterday I felt that too, and you watched over me. Be merciful. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, I need more mercy. David cried out for the mercy of God. David recounted his faith in God's mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. Praise God. God is merciful for me when I'm driving down the road. God has blessed me and kept me from accidents. And every time I see that there's a crash, which you drive down Spring Hill Drive, you'll see one about every day. I say, dear Lord, please be with those dear folks, help them, and thank you for being merciful to me. Yeah, that's how we ought to know that. But what some people do, they say, oh my goodness, I'm going to get in an accident. Oh my goodness. And they slow down. And I've seen people put on their brakes and somebody behind them hit them because they were scared about getting the accident that's already happened. Fear causes us not to trust God. Fear is our enemy. So David said, in the past, Whenever I did allow fear to control me, you came through, you helped me. I'm not going to let it work this time. Be merciful to me, God. I've got these enemies. I don't want to be worried about them. I don't want to take all my time thinking about them. I want to trust in you. What time I'm afraid, I am going to pray. I'm going to believe. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to do the things that God would have me to do. What time I'm afraid, I'm going to do everything except for fear, because I trust you. He recounted his faith in God's mercy. David knew that any moment, if God was to withdraw his hand, that evil men would come against him. He knew it. So it was the mercy of God helping David to continue to trust in him. For man would swallow me up, he said. For they be many that fight against me. O thou most high God, if you are not merciful to me again today, I'm not going to live to the sundown. God, I need you. I want you. Be merciful unto me. And he recounted all the blessings of God's mercy in the past. And he said, I know God's going to show me mercy again today. I'm not going to worry what my brother's going to do against me. I'm not going to worry even his own children turned against him. He said, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying David never had any fears. I'm saying he didn't let his fear control him. You understand that? I remember playing baseball, and there was a time when I saw a major league hitter stand close to the plate. I don't know how this guy did it. I don't know how he did it, but he'd get right up on that plate and challenge that pitcher. And every time the pitcher would throw the ball a little bit inside, move out of the way fast enough and almost mock the pitcher. And I thought, well, man, I want to be like so-and-so. And I got up there, and I got ready, got my feet about this far from the base. And I said, come on, buddy. And I got away. And I got there again, and he threw the ball, and I didn't get away. And it hit me right in the throat. That's what I get. My dad had been saying, son, what are you getting so close to the plate for? Well, Dad, that's how Ron Say does it. That's how he hits. He gets right up there, right on that base, and challenges that pitcher, and that pitcher and is forced to throw. And he said, son, listen. He said, that's not who you are. He said, listen to your coach. Step a little bit back away. Listen, just because you can get on base by getting hit the ball doesn't mean you ought to. And listen, I never had any problem after that. I got hit in the throat one time, that was it. If you ever get hit in the throat with a baseball, you feel like it's still there a week later. Something about getting hit right there. You know, get hit here, it's not so bad here. I know, but don't get hit there. Listen, you're not David, I'm not David. I never killed a bear with my bare hands. You probably never killed one with your bare hands either. But I know this. We have the same God that David has. And if you do the same thing David did concerning his fear and turn to the Lord and not trust in the fear, God can deliver you too. David wrote in verse 4, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. I'm telling you, he wasn't worried about what those enemies, he was worried about the spiritual aspect of not trusting God. Somewhere down the line, Christians, we need to start loving and respecting God to where we don't sin because we don't want it to hurt the heart of God. A good son or a good daughter refuses to do some things that their friends do because why? They know that it's going to break mama's heart. It's going to break daddy's heart. Somewhere there's a fear of not having a close relationship with the one you love. David recounted his mercy. God's mercy was so loving and wonderful. How could he worry about people when God wanted him to trust him? David wanted to do what God wanted him to do. In 1982, this old country boy, farm boy, went off to Bible college. If any country boy had no business in college, it probably would have been me. But Bible college was what my heart had led me to, and I knew God wanted me there, so I was going to go for it. I joined the very first weekend, the hardest ministry that church had for young people. It was called a bus ministry. I shared with you last week what it took to be a captain in that bus ministry. About 27, 28 hours between Friday and Sunday night. Now, that's hard enough for anybody, but let alone a country boy who's going off to college. And I remember after about 6 or 7 weeks of visiting with my bus captain and him showing me the ropes and what to do and what not to do, I remember him saying, "Now listen, I have to leave and go to an appointment. Can you stay here and do the follow-up appointments?" What those were was on Saturday night, we'd go back to the homes where the people weren't home earlier, and one more time we'd leave a note or we'd try to catch them and see if they were going to come and ride the bus to Sunday school. And we had our prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, and the latest you could stay out was to 9 o'clock in order to get back to the dorm on time. So I stayed, and after the prayer meeting, my bus captain gave me a list of names, and I went to these streets checking on all these families and all these folks, and there I was walking down Armitage Avenue, and it was dark. Some of the street lights worked, some of them didn't work. And there were six tall Puerto Rican guys coming in my direction on the sidewalk. Now, you just have to understand. Now, I know I'm big and strong now, but I wasn't then. This is where you laugh. I was 184 pounds, dripping wet. Naive as can be. I'd never been to a big city. The biggest city I ever had been to was to see a Cleveland Indians game, and we didn't even go downtown for the most part. Let me say hello to that telephone there. So I'm walking down the sidewalk, and here are six Puerto Rican, tall Puerto Ricans coming right towards me, taller than me. And they get close to me, and they kind of surround me, and they say, "What are you doing on our turf?" Now, a million thoughts went through my brain, lickety-split. And all of them ended up with, "I'm dead." But I remember something my dad told me. He said, "Son, if a group of guys or somebody ever acts like they're going to do you harm, don't show them that you're scared." Oh, that's easy to say. And the only thought that came to my mind was this. I thought this was God's turf. And as soon as I said it, I thought, "Oh no, that's the dumbest thing to say." But as soon as I said it, they kind of relaxed, got a grin on their face. They said, "Oh, he's one of those preacher boys. Leave him alone." And I stood there as they parted the water and my knees shook. And I realized what had just happened to me. Now, the lesson today is not to fake it until you make it, but to put your trust in the Lord. But I want to tell you, that's all I had to trust in at that time. We didn't carry knives. We didn't carry weapons with us. But we walked the most dangerous streets of Humboldt Park, the most dangerous streets of Chicago, knocking on doors, begging moms and dads to let boys and girls come to church and get on a bus with us and learn about Jesus, begging mom and dad if they didn't have a car to come. And we did that week in and week out, and we were doing the work of the Lord. And were there dangers? Yes. Was there an enemy? Yes. But the enemy wasn't some Puerto Ricans or some Mexicans or some white fellas. The enemy was the devil, and God wanted to find out how serious we were about what we were doing. How serious are you? What's it going to take to keep you from doing what God wants you to do? One person to criticize you? Years ago, somebody came to our church, and I thought there was more promise in this couple as about any other younger couple that we had coming to our church. My wife and I said, "Man, I'm so excited for this young couple. They're going to come in, and they're going to help us with this ministry and help us with that ministry and do this and do that." And before you know it, they didn't come to church. And I called them. I said, "Are you sick?" "Oh, no, Pastor." "Well, what's wrong?" "We're not coming back to that church anymore." "Why aren't you coming back?" "Well, honey, that was okay." "Oh, I appreciate that. You are hot stuff." What it takes to stop you is where you are in your walk with life. As simple as I can tell you this. That couple stopped coming to the church. They haven't been back. As far as I know, they're not going to any church because somebody did not give them a bulletin on Sunday morning. They thought the person who didn't give them a bulletin didn't like them, and so they were protesting the actions of another individual. I couldn't understand it. I thought we came to church to love God. I thought coming to church was about giving glory to God. I didn't know that getting the pleasure and okay from other people was why we come to church. But for some people it is. David realized that he needed to remember the mercy of God. God has a good track record. And then number three, David realized when he was tempted. He realized at the time when he's tempted. He said, when I am afraid, that's when I'm going to trust. So in other words, he recognized the time. Have you ever recognized the time? Surely you have. You knew that you had an appointment. All of a sudden, fear came over you. Will I get the job? Will I not? They probably won't like me. You got that way probably when you asked your wife to marry me. Will she say yes? Will she say no? All kinds of situations in life where fear comes on us. What do we do at that time? You ever been tempted not to do something somebody else was doing that you knew was wrong, but you'd be shamed if you didn't do it? David said, when that time comes in my life, I've realized what I need to do to be honest and recognize it. Failure to notice and acknowledging will lead you into failure. David was honest with himself. And I think there are some Christians here today that probably need to stop lying to yourself. There are things that make you fear. There are things that get you upset. And God doesn't want you trusting in them, leaning on them, going in that direction. God loves you. Faith is not saying, everything is great all the time. Preacher, don't you worry about me. I'll be back in church soon. No problem. This is easy. I got it. Piece of cake. Faith is saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, help me right now. Lord, I don't want to fail this test. Lord, give me faith to trust you. Lord, help me to do the right thing. David realized when he was tempted. In Psalm 27, the Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Boy, it's fun being around confident Christians. Boy, Christians who just know God's been so good in the past, he's not going to let you down. He's going to be there for me, Pastor. And for everybody who's not confident, let us help you. Find another confident Christian and help. Allow them to walk with you. Allow them to be the iron that sharpens your iron. Walk with each other. You both have difficulties. Let the Lord be your strength. David realized when he was tempted. David's faith in God made him sensitive to God's spirit. He knew when the enemy was near. He knew when faith would give its opportunity to us. When is it going to happen? That's when I'm going to trust the Lord. You know this story. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus gets into the ship to cross the sea, and he tells the disciples to get in the ship. We're going to cross the sea. And so they do what he tells them to do, and then Jesus gets in the ship, and you know what happens? He falls asleep. While he's sleeping, the storm comes. And the winds really just whip through there and whip up the waves. And the waves are coming on the boat, and they really believe they're all going to die. It's always interested me. How come it didn't bother Jesus? How come that which bothered them didn't even wake him up out of a sleep? So finally, they get the courage. I can almost see Peter saying to Thomas, Thomas, you go get Jesus. Thomas said, I'm not getting Jesus, you get Jesus. Bartholomew, would you go tell Jesus that Thomas doesn't have enough faith to go get Jesus, wake him up. I'm not getting Jesus, you get Jesus. I don't know how long they did that, but to the point to where they were ready to perish, and finally they woke him up. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, to believe. And then he calmly rebuked the winds and the water, and they obeyed. What a lesson to those disciples. What a lesson for all of us. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. I love this. With the right hand of my righteousness. Aren't you glad that God's got a powerful right hand? Satan doesn't have a chance. Aren't you glad? That's what you're supposed to be near, the right hand of the righteousness of God. As you are, nothing can overcome you. David's faith in God made him sensitive to the Holy Spirit. David realized when he was tempted. And lastly, David rested in God's word. He recognized who his enemy was, which was fear. He recounted God's mercy. He realized when he was vulnerable, and then he rested in God's word. You know, sometimes you've done all you can do. You just need to trust God, right? You've done everything you could do. You try to provide the right thing. You try to love those kids, and now you're fearful they're going to leave and turn out to sow wild oats. Listen, there's a time after you've done everything you're supposed to do that you do not let faith keep you doing from doing what you're supposed to do, that you just give it to God. I'm just going to rest and trust God. That's where he wants us all. In God, I will praise his word, verse 4 says. David said, I know what your word says about being afraid, about worrying about people. I know that Noah preached for 120 years and they laughed at him and nobody got on the ark except for his own family. Praise God, his own family got on the ark. Noah didn't quit. He rested in God's word. Listen, folks, you cannot say, I love you, God, but I can't do what you say. You can't say that. God, I believe in you, but I can't listen to what the Bible says. By forsaking God's word, we have disbelieved God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So don't fear keeping God's commandments. Fear not keeping God's commandments. What you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. And I know I say that a lot, but it's so true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... So if I don't have the word, I'm not going to have the faith. If I don't have the faith, fear is going to overcome me. Faith's fear factor is real to those who will not study to show themselves approved unto God. To those who don't have time, but for one worship service a week. I know there's Bible teaching going on Sunday school. I know there's Bible teaching on Wednesday. I know there's Bible teaching Sunday night, but I can't ever come. Give me my 45 minutes, Pastor, and I've chalked it off. Be careful, my dear friend. Fear is going to lead you down the wrong path. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch believed God's word. God was pleased with Enoch. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark according to the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham and Sarah looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises of God, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Do you get that? Abraham offered his son on that altar there because he said, God, if you want me to kill him, that must mean that you're going to raise him up. He believed God. He trusted God. God's word was more important to him than any of man's ideas. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, just as God said they would. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. By faith, Daniel and Gideon and Samson and Samuel and James and John and Stephen, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, some were stoned, some were sawn asunder, slain with the sword, they being destitute, afflicted, tormented, cruel mockings and scourging, imprisoned. Some wandered in deserts, some in mountains, some in caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. Faith was the victory in all of their lives. You read the Bible and that's what you figure out. It's a book of faith. The people who pleased God had faith. The people who were judged of God acted upon fear. Faith's fear factor is a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're either walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. You're not doing both at the same time. Faith comes by hearing. Your life's report card will conclude by saying either he lived by faith or he lived by fear. All those who lived according to faith, he will say in that day, enter into the joys of this world. Heaven will welcome you. All those who only believed when it was convenient, only believed when it was easy, only believed when everybody else was doing it, only believed when it was popular, he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's fear that's keeping some people from heaven today. Beautiful song. We know it. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. We can do that in church. Can you do that on your job? Can you do that at school next week? When the other teenagers want to do what's cool, can we do what's right in the sight of God? You can do that maybe with your spouse. Can you do that when your spiritual spouse is not there? You can do it when there's extra money in the bank. When there's not, can you still trust God? You did it when you were healthy. Can you not do it now that your body's not responding and you have health problems? Church, we can trust God. We can believe him. He is a righteous God. He has never let you down. You may feel like he did, and that's why you fear trusting him again. And if so do, and you'll make a grave mistake. Choose faith over fear. Choosing faith over fear becomes easier as we get to know God, because to know him is to trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to... Okay, so you know that song. You know that's what we're supposed to do. So let us invoke the power of God through the Spirit to let fear go back where it came from the pit of hell. And let all who believe in Christ Jesus the Lord trust him, follow him, obey him, listen to him, do his will before our will. Let us beat fear's faith factor and help us do that which is faith's fear factor. The fear is not doing what God wants us to do. The faith is doing it in spite of the fear. The disciples prayed, Lord, we need faith. God, help us to have faith while we don't have faith. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's what we need to pray. Would you bow your heads, please?